Looking at our world from a theological perspective. This is the Theology Central Podcast, making theology central.
Good morning, everyone. It is Sunday, September the 26th, 2021. It is currently 8:54 a.m. Central Time, and I'm coming to you live from the empty sanctuary of Victory Baptist Church, located right here in Ovalle, Texas. Now, it's fast approaching 9 a.m., so that means in less than an hour, people will be walking through the front door here at Victory Baptist Church for the Sunday school hour. So that means I have limited time. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, it's not quite 9 a.m. That gives you almost an hour, so your time is not that limited. Well, you don't know me very well, because you know, if you know me very well, you know that I rarely can turn on a microphone and talk for less than an hour. It doesn't matter what it is. You could just send me a random topic in the email, just saying, hey, talk about this, and I could probably turn on the microphone and talk an hour, all right, without any notes, probably without preparing anything. I could talk an hour about anything. So that means I have a very limited amount of time. And as you can see, I'm already wasting that limited amount of time explaining to you that I have a limited amount of time, which doesn't seem to be very smart. But are you ready? You got your thinking caps on this morning? I know it's early. If you're listening to me live, maybe you're getting ready for church. I don't know what you may be doing this morning, but hopefully for some of you, you need your coffee or you cannot operate. So maybe you'll have to come back and listen, but I need you to put your thinking caps on, because I've got a series of questions to begin with, right? I want you to really, really think about some things, all right? Is it possible that the church in the United States of America — I cannot speak for churches outside of the United States of America — but is it possible that churches in the United States of America has gotten things completely backwards? That they are completely looking at situations in a backwards way. Like, here's the way the Bible says you should look at it this way. This is the way you should think about it. This is how you should focus. This is the way you should think. This is how you should proceed. But somehow Christians have taken that and completely flipped it backwards, and we're doing it the opposite way. Like, Scripture tells us to do it this way. We're doing it the opposite. Do you think churches in the United States of America have gotten things completely backwards? Now, you may be saying, well, I can't really answer that yet, because I don't know exactly what you're talking about. Okay, that's all right. All right, let me ask it this way. Do you believe that the church in the United States of America right now is too busy fighting the symptoms while ignoring the disease? Do you think churches in America are too busy today fighting the symptoms and ignoring the disease? And is it possible that the reason the church is ignoring the disease is because churches have become theologically illiterate, biblically illiterate? Now, I know when I say that, that's going to offend some people, but I see a lot of churches, to me, that has everything completely backwards. I think there's too many examples of that. It's hard to even deny that. There are churches in America are completely looking at things in a backwards way. That's hard to deny. And to me, it is obvious that churches are running around fighting the symptoms while ignoring the disease. And I believe the reason they're ignoring the disease is they're not ignoring the disease consciously. They're ignoring the disease because they've become ignorant of the disease, because they've become theologically illiterate. And they've become theologically illiterate because the church is not doing its job. It's not equipping saints for ministry. It's either just trying to entertain people, be a nice social club, trying to provide nice environment with some nice sounding music, with some nice lighting and some nice seats and maybe some coffee, and I don't know what churches are doing, but they are clearly not doing what they are supposed to be doing. So do you think the church has got things backwards, and do you think the church is going at fighting the symptoms while ignoring the disease? I could ask some more questions, but again, I have a limited amount of time. So I want you to do this. If you can this morning, if you're listening live, if not, whenever you're listening, if you can, open up a Bible, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and I want you to look at verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, where we read these words. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want you to hear it again. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. I believe the church has gotten this completely backwards, and the church is running around trying to wrestle with flesh and blood. I believe the church is not only wrestling against flesh and blood, we're going after the symptoms brought out ultimately is the result of depravity, but we are fighting the symptoms of depravity while ignoring the fact that the cause of all of the symptoms is depravity. The disease is depravity. I think the church is running around, and we need to change this passage of scripture. A lot of Christians need to walk around with a shirt that says, we wrestle against flesh and blood. They really do. Many churches just need to put that in their advertisement. Join our church and you'll learn how to wrestle against flesh and blood, because we are fighting the culture wars. We're fighting the political wars. We're fighting this. We're fighting that. We're fighting the mask mandates. We're fighting this. We're going to fight the vaccine mandates. We're going to fight this. We're going to fight liberals. We're going to fight critical race theory. We're going to fight Black Lives Matter. We're going to fight this. And the many churches just need to be honest. We're here wrestling against flesh and blood. Join us. We're going after the symptoms because we don't seem to really believe in total depravity. Because if we really believed in total depravity, then we would understand that the solution is not to fight the symptom, it's to go after the disease. And you cannot fight that disease, listen to me, through political victory, through political power, through boycotts, protest, whining, marching, complaining, censoring. None of that's going to fix it. The only thing that can fix depravity is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why the church's commission is not to wrestle against flesh and blood, but to fight spiritual war. And we do so with using spiritual tools, spiritual weapons, and we are to carry out the Great Commission, which was never to try to remake the country through political victories, but through the preaching of the gospel. I believe churches have gotten things completely backwards. Now, I bring all of this up because today I was sitting here in the empty sanctuary, and from wayoflife.org, I saw this headline, wrestling against flesh and blood. Wrestling against flesh and blood. Now, as soon as I saw that, I was like, wait a minute, we're not to wrestle against flesh and blood. Why would they post an article saying wrestling against flesh and blood? What is going on? Like, did I miss something? Did we find out that there was a textual variant there, and it should read we wrestle against flesh and blood? What's going on? So I started reading, and this is the article. It was published on September the 17th, 2021. I think I saw it earlier, but I haven't had time to get to this. So I'd completely forgotten about it. And then I saw the article again today and was like, oh, I need to talk about that. So that's why the microphone is on right now. So let's think this through. All right, here we go. The Bible says that God's people do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but a great number of professing Christians are doing just that. Oh, now, there we go. Now I understand the articles. And now the headlines, you're like, wait, wrestling against flesh and blood. They got that wrong. They messed up. But no, they're making a point. We are not to wrestle against flesh and blood, but many Christians are doing just that. I will say it again. Many Christians, many churches have gotten things completely backwards. And here's one of the things they have backwards. We are not to wrestle against flesh and blood, and everything they appear to be doing, focusing on, ranting and raving about, seems to all about be about fighting and wrestling against flesh and blood. Let's see what they have to say here. It says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but a great number of professing Christians are doing just that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. The Apostle Paul, who wrote this under divine inspiration, modeled obedience to it. He lived in an empire filled with flesh and blood wickedness, corrupt emperors, scandalous governors, crooked businessmen, disreputable politicians, nefarious military leaders, and that's all the things he was going through. Let's go through that again. I read that a little too quickly, but I want you to see this again. Sometimes when I realize I'm limited in time, I try to hurry here. All right. So he says, now the Apostle Paul, who wrote that Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 through 13, under divine inspiration, lived in an empire filled with a bunch of difficulties and trouble. He lived in a time of a great political mess in many cases. Listen to the things he was encountering. He lived in an empire filled with flesh and blood wickedness, corrupt emperors, scandalous governors, crooked businessmen, disreputable politicians, nefarious military leaders. Those are all the things that were going on in the empire when Paul lived. But yet he says, hey, he writes a letter saying, do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You do not wrestle against flesh and blood. In other words, you see all of these things wrong in the earth. You see all of these problems, but that's not what we're fighting against. And again, I believe Christians have completely lost this perspective in many cases. In fact, I think we believe the way to fight the spiritual war is to wrestle with flesh and blood, and which again demonstrates that we are on a continuing basis, we're getting things backwards. He goes on to say, Paul could have stayed very busy, indeed, wrestling against flesh and blood, corruptions and conspiracies, but he didn't. This was not because he was ignorant of what was happening or that he did not care about such things. He understood that the real enemies are not flesh and blood. He had more important things to do in God's business, preaching the gospel, the only message of salvation, disciplining the saints, building New Testament churches as the pillar and ground of the truth in a dark world, building godly families as a bulwark against evil. Unlike Paul, political conservatives in America most definitely wrestle against flesh and blood, right? They wrestle against Biden, Harris, Fauci, Pelosi, Soros, Gates, Newsom, liberal Supreme Court justices, woke people who are quote-unquote woke, the CIA, the FBI, the CDC, Putin, and a bunch of others. Political conservatives wrestle against flesh and blood because they don't have Paul's knowledge of spiritual realities or his divine calling or his weapons. But born-again, Bible-believing Christians do know what Paul knew and do have the weapons. Paul wielded, we do have the weapons that Paul wielded, and we do have the calling to Christ's great commission that Paul had. Why then are so many Christians basically mimicking, following, copying political conservatism? Why are so many Christians simply copying, following, mimicking political conservatism? Why? Why do we want to follow the political conservatives? Why do we want to mimic them, follow them, adopt their way of thinking, adopt their ideology, adopt their methodology? Why is that the case? Because many Christians have completely forgotten what we're called to do. This is what happened. Christians have surrendered in the spiritual war, and they're now trying to fight a war with flesh and blood. Many Christians have surrendered doctrine and theology for a conservative ideology. We've replaced biblical theology, and I want you to hear what I'm about to say, with conservative political theology. We will look at many of the political, cultural issues, and we'll try to do so from a theological perspective, but it's not from a biblical theology. It's from a political theology that they derive from their new preachers. Their new preachers is Tucker Carlson. They have new preachers, new theologians. It's no longer being influenced by scripture. It's being influenced from the right. Now, I know some of you are going to email me and say, what about the left? I understand. The churches on the left, we talk about this all the time. Christianity is being rewritten, and it's happening from two different sides, from the very woke left, progressive churches, and from the conservative right-wing, politically hijacked churches. Both of them are rewriting Christianity, and biblical Christianity is somewhere there in the middle, and slowly but surely they're looking around, and there's no place for them because churches have completely lost the whole plot. They've lost everything. And they're running around trying to fight against flesh and blood. And they want this, they want this politician, they want this. And just listen to how Christians talk. It's not sounding like biblical Christianity. It's sounding like political conservatism. That's what it's sounding like. Political conservatism, if I can say the word right. Conservatism, if I can say the word correctly. That's what it sounds like. And when you hear it, you know it. I mean, if you pay any attention, just listen to the people in your church when they start talking about anything going on in the news, anything going on in the culture, start listening. And what you'll start hearing is, well, that's not biblical theology. That's not that's the Bible. That's political conservatism. That's what it is. And it's discouraging. It's depressing because you're like, what? Don't you own a Bible? Wrestle not against flesh and blood. We get it completely backwards. We're wrestling against flesh and blood instead of fighting against spiritual forces. We've messed that completely up. And let me say it again. We have completely ignored the disease, and we're running around trying to fight the symptoms. And you'll never, never conquer the disease by simply going after the symptoms. You've got to get to the root cause. And the root cause is human depravity. It always has been. It always will be. But somehow Christians constantly forget that. I say it all the time. Cain killed Abel. Before there was rock and roll, before there was violent video games, before there was Netflix, before there was Hollywood, before there was rap, you name whatever the thing that Christians want to run around and scream and fight about. These things happened way before that. Sodom and Gomorrah existed before there was ever the LGBTQ agenda, the LGBTQ anything, right? I just want to make it very clear. These things, these sins, these problems have always existed because they've existed since the fall, I should say. They've existed since the fall because after the fall, every person is born a totally depraved sinner. And total depravity is the disease, and the symptom is all of the things that we see manifesting in culture and in our own lives and all around us. Remember, I've stated it so many times. I'm going to say it again. People do not become sinners by sinning. People sin because they are sinners. We are sinners by nature, therefore we sin naturally. You can run around trying to fight the individual sins that are manifest, but the problem is the heart of man, which is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The human heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. It's the human heart, and that's where the sin flows from. People did not become sinners by sinning. They sin because they are sinners by nature. They're conceived in sin. They're brought forth sinning. We are brought forth. The minute we are brought forth, we are selfish, self-seeking, narcissistic, worshiping ourselves. We are liars. We are deceivers. That is what we are. I know that goes against a lot of the modern thinking, but that's biblical Christianity. So are you running around fighting flesh and blood? Are you running around yelling and screaming about all the problems you see in society? Well, you can run and try to fight all of that flesh and blood, those flesh and blood things, but you've got it backwards. spiritual. It's spiritual. And a lot of people say, well, I understand it's spiritual, but we've got to fight it. And we're gonna overcome these spiritual problems by getting this person elected or getting this party elected and voting out the other party and passing this law or rebelling against this or fighting against all of the things Christians run around fighting. In the meantime, the church is more biblically illiterate than it's ever been, more theologically illiterate than it's ever been. And nobody wants to fix the problem. The problem is the church needs a revival so that Christians would wake up from their spiritual stupor, get back with a passion and zeal for the things of God, the Word of God, studying God's Word, and Christians begin praying, and then Christians begin evangelizing and discipling. That's what the church is supposed to do, but we've lost. We got, I don't know what happened. We drove the car right off the road, right through the fence, over the cliff, and we're smashed down at the bottom of the cliff. The car's on fire, and everyone's laying there bloodied and injured. I don't know how else to describe it. The church completely has lost its ever-living mind, its ever-loving mind. It's lost everything. I don't know how else to describe it other than wake up. Wake up. We are not to fight against flesh and blood. We're not to wrestle against flesh and blood. Let me read it to you again. Ephesians chapter 6. For we wrestle not. I don't know how many times I can emphasize that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Then it tells you how to put on spiritual armor. Tells us to pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Tells us to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we're to put on armor, pick up God's Word, and pray. And we know what we are to do with God's Word. We are to evangelize, and we are to disciple. And as Christians, we are to be memorizing it, reading it, and studying it. There you have it. Just a quick early morning devotional thought on this Sunday morning. I apologize for my voice having a couple of problems there and having a major issue in pronouncing political conservatism. I don't know why I had such a big issue with that, but I did. All right. And again, that article can be found at wayoflife.org. Wrestling Against Flesh and Blood. It was published on September the 17th, 2021. Just a very little short devotional thought, but I thought very appropriate. We've talked about the various things very similar, but I think it's something that you should give much thought to. And when you look at what Christians are doing, saying, talking, you may want to say, hey guys, remember we are not to wrestle against flesh and blood, right? 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 And everyone will say, amen, of course, of course, of course. And then right back go into, well, clearly demonstrating that their thinking is not biblical, and I don't know what to do. It's one of those. Yeah, I mean, we could talk about. Yeah, there's a lot of things I could speculate on, but it's a serious situation right now, and I'm glad that other people are realizing it. That is true. Okay. For those who don't know, I'm a wrestling fan, and someone just posted, just a coincidence, your podcast has a wrestling theme on the same day as the WWE pay-per-view. Well, I didn't even think about it at the time. I just more thought about, wait, wrestling against flesh and blood. That's what we're not to do, but we are to be wrestling. We are to be in a conflict. The only difference is WWE's conflict is a storyline. It's actors. It's choreographed. Ours, there's no actors. There's no storyline per se. It's not choreographed. It's real. And there are eternal consequences. All right. There you have it. I hope that will be at least a kind of a challenge this morning as you, move on, especially if you're going to church. Just listen. And how people talk about many of the issues going on within the culture. And sometimes it just seems they've completely got things backwards. And I wish that we could somehow get things back the right order with the right focus and the right direction. And I don't know if that's ever going to happen again, because it seems that we're so far gone that it's going to be hard to get back. But I'm glad that other Christians out there are seeing some of the same things. All right, I'll stop right there. It's 9:18, so I don't know how much time I have left. So we'll see. I don't know if I'll get anything else done. If not, 10 a.m. is Sunday school start, and we're going to be, I think we're going to set aside the Niagara Creed this morning to do our kind of overview and introduction to 1 John, which is what we're doing for the Bible study exercise for the next 6 weeks. So we may use Sunday school for that, and then the doctrine of election sometime after 11 with our morning worship. So that's the plan. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Will. Everyone have a great day. God bless.